Good afternoon. It is truly a joy and privilege to be with you. Let me just get this started. I tend to be long-winded, so I need all the helps that I can get here. We're just going to get hooked up here. It truly is a privilege to be with you here. It seems like a very long time since I was able to attend a convention here. 2 years ago, right now, that all of this transpired for us to go to Africa. And I think you all know the story. I won't go into that now. But it is the Lord, and He has been so good. The first Sunday that we arrived in Cameroon, the Lord literally just gave us this instant love for the nation and the people. And I can honestly say they are our people now. It's so nice to be back with you and to see family and friends and create memories to take back with us. But our people are in the nation of Cameroon. And it's one of those things that only God can do, that He just literally put the love in. And my husband kept saying to me all year, he said, "We're going to have to go back next summer. We're going to have to go back." And I'm like, "No, no, no." And sure enough, the Lord led us through events that we had to come back. But it was His hand in it, and seeing His hand in it. And just how good and merciful He is in directing and guiding us. Well, I will go ahead and start. I do have a PowerPoint. I do better with visual things, so I will go ahead and start, and we will share it with you as we continue on here. Today I was asked to share about being a missionary. Being a missionary. We all know the scripture, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We know the Great Commission, that we are to do that and to go into all the world. How many missionaries do we have here today? How many missionaries? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I see we have about 6 missionaries here today. So I'm not quite sure. I think I'm sort of a newbie on the field. We've only been on there for a year. Thank you. Yes, it goes here. We've been on the field for a year and 4 months. Okay, so we have about 6 or 7 missionaries. Well, here's a few missionaries here. That doesn't really have anything to do with my sharing today, but I've always loved that picture, so I thought I would share it with you. So what is a missionary? When you think of the term missionary or mission field, what comes to your mind? Somebody. Foreign country. Leaving home. Ministry. Difficulty. Homesickness. Different, but there's a missionary speaking, I'm thinking. What else? I saw, yes. Sharing the good news. Anyone else? So lots of different things that come into our mind when thinking about a missionary. I loved this quote that I found. "A missionary is someone who leaves their family for a short time so others may be with their families for eternity." I thought, what a precious, precious way of describing a missionary. And when I wanted to Google the term missionary and see what they said. So they said, "A person sent on a religious mission, especially one sent to promote Christianity in a foreign country." Well, since being back here, we arrived back the beginning of June. Looking around, to me, this is feeling more and more like a foreign country. How about to you? With the decisions that are being made in our nations, in Canada and the States, it's looking more and more foreign over here, hopefully to us as believers and God lovers and followers. So guess what? Me's thinking we're all missionaries here. How many missionaries do we have in the room today? Okay, we have a whole room full, so I can speak to all of you. So this is a good thing. This is a very good thing. So whether we're leaving our family for a few hours out of the day to go to the grocery store and go to our mission field and witness there, or to our neighbors or to unsafe family, or whether we're leaving them for a couple years, I believe we are all on the mission field. So ready or not, you're now entering the mission field. So let's look at this like a journey. A journey. What is more important, the destination or the journey? Anybody have any thoughts on that? You don't have to answer. But what is more important, the destiny or the journey? If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I'm trusting all of us in this room have, and if we are living in obedience to Him each and every day, I believe our destination is assured. Amen? Can you agree to that? So I'm thankful that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and may we each and every day make those choices to keep those names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, for me, I don't always enjoy the journey. I get very motion sick. So this is how my head and my stomach feels when traveling. It literally gets all mumbled and jumbled in my head and in my tummy. So anytime we go somewhere, my husband loves to look around, and usually I do the driving so I don't get quite as sick because I'm focused. He loves enjoying the journey. But for me, I want to get to the destination, to wherever I'm going, because it's challenging for me because of my physical limitation. So right for the moment, we're going to go to our destination. So how about this for the mission field, ladies? Does that look pretty good? You know, sometimes I think we have things mapped out and planned, what our lives are going to look like, and how wonderful and glorious it's going to be. And then life happens, doesn't it? And this isn't quite the picture that we had envisioned. So sometimes we need helps along this journey of life. So let's take a look at the words of wisdom a certain author has on being a missionary. Okay, it's a pretty thick book. I don't know. How much time do I have left here? Let's see. Okay, here's page 1 and page 2, page 3 and 4, and all the way through. This is because your journey is going to be very different than mine. God has literally ordained the journey for each one. It's tailor-made for each of us, and all of our journeys are going to look a little bit different. But we can encourage one another and help one another along our journeys. So as I was pondering this thought of being a missionary, the Lord just really quickened to me for the focus today was about being a missionary. A missionary is just a title of what I do. But being is who I am or who we are. And that's what the Lord really was quickening to me. Some people love to use their titles. Africans, they love to use their titles. You'll, on Facebook or emails, they're Apostle so-and-so, or Bishop so-and-so, or Evangelist so-and-so. And they just love to say who they are. And that's not always a good thing. Mark 15:2, "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. Jesus didn't even have to state who he was. He said, "Yeah, you've said it. You've said I am what I am." So if Jesus didn't have a need to say his title, should we have that need to do it? I've noticed that those who are the real deal, those who are the real thing, they don't have to try to declare and promote who they are. It when you're the real thing and when you've been around the real thing, you know it, and you know when you're not in the presence of the real thing. Years ago, my brother worked at a bank, and they wanted him to get to know counterfeit money. So do you think they showed him counterfeit money? No. They had him touch the real. Then when the counterfeit came into his hands and in his eyesight, he knew it wasn't the real thing. And that's for all of us in our lives. If we are trying to convince everybody who we are and what we are, oh my, I don't think we have a whole lot to offer. Those who are genuinely something don't have to advertise it. It will just be there for everybody to know. So I would just like to share a few life lessons that I have learned. Some will be personal stories. Others will be stories from others' lives. Some things from Grandpa Bailey. Being in Africa, one thing that has helped me so much, and I encourage all of you, listen to his sermons and messages. I try to every day listen to at least one or two, and the life experiences that he shares, it's so invaluable, and it has just helped me through so many times and the struggles he went through, and yet he came through victorious. So I will be sharing some things that I learned from his life. Hopefully, with some of that I'm sharing today, hopefully some things will be tidbits to help you on your journey of being. One thing I've learned is people are people are people. No matter what side of the world you are in, no matter what culture, country, race, or face, People are people are people. And yes, our cultures are very different, but all of us, we all come from Adam, don't we? And we are all people. And learning to adjust to other situations and other cultures, yes, that can be challenging. But people are people. It'll be interesting in dealing with some people on the other side of the world. And it's like, wow, they so remind me of this one, you know, back at home. And so people are people are people. And that's wonderful because the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every single one of us. And so as we share, just realizing they face the same struggles I do. Now, we have to be careful how we share examples and life stories because some things absolutely don't apply to them. They would have no clue or concept of things. But we all have the inner struggles, the inner things that we are facing. One thing I've learned, the importance of obedience. The Lord's really just put it on my heart over there, being over there, seeing those who are obedient in little things can be entrusted with greater things, whether it's our students or our staff, even some situations we've had contact with back here in North America. Little obediences are so important. And we think, oh, well, we're a seasoned Christian. You know, we know these things. But recognizing in my life, am I always obedient to the things of the Lord, to that still small voice? I can't honestly say that I always am. But recognizing the importance of being faithful. Faithful in the natural, then you can be entrusted with spiritual riches. Now, somebody recently, just this past week, shared a story with me on obedience, that the Lord spoke to them to go to this certain store. And they went to that store, and this was there. Now, it didn't have the little shawl and little hat and little booties. Does it look familiar, anybody? The handiwork of anyone? My mother picked this up. And it meant so much to me. We have children in our home all the time, and I've been collecting some toys and that to take back with us. So I have a little dolly to take back, but it was because of my mother obeying the Holy Spirit. A simple thing. Go to Salvation Army, Angeline.
Okay.
Guess what? She obeyed, and I am being blessed because of her obedience. And I feel very comfortable now having sharing with a little black face in the room with me. So what a blessing. But her obedience blessed me and this precious little, and she's brand new. Look at her hair. I mean, she's just incredible. And my mother's obedience literally is blessing me and will bless many children in Africa as they come into my home. That's just one little area, but there's a whole world out there of big things God is wanting to do in our lives, but it's going to take the little obediences that we then can hear him in the bigger things. We will totally miss him in the big things if we don't go to Salvation Army when he tells us to. I'm serious. It seems so minute, but the Lord knows for each of us. A part of obedience is being under our authority. And I thought this picture was so cool because it shows an umbrella, a covering. And that is what our authority is. Many times we can look at our authority as well. I don't have to listen to them. You know, I can hear from God myself too. And that's true. The Lord wants to speak to all of us, but he wants to confirm things through our authorities. So seeking godly counsel is so important. And we should all know this, but do we do it as wives with our husband, in our church situations? We have many authority figures. We have even more now that we're in Africa that we place ourselves under. And you have to place yourself under authority. The authorities, if they're godly authorities, they're not going around this umbrella looking for people to collect under their umbrellas. No, you have to come and place yourself under their authority. But the blessing of it, and truly, I believe that we are directly rejecting the authority of the Lord if we are rejecting the authority in our lives. Don't let your past failures define you. Let them refine you. We all have sinned. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And every day, there's choices we make. And still, I've been a Christian most of my life. I still blow it. I still sin. I still fall short of the glory of God. But we don't want to let those past things define us and affect our future. We want to repent of these things. We want to make things right, get on track, and continue on our journey. Because the enemy wants to come in and discourage us with these things. But we do not want to even go down that route. We want to use these things as stepping stones up to the next level that the Lord wants to bring us. God often uses our deepest pain as a launching pad for our greatest calling. And if you are going through some very difficult trials right now, remember this. Remember this. You are not alone. You are not alone. God will use those tragedies in our life. I'd like to share a story with you I heard years ago, and this is a true story. I did go on to confirm from a source that this was a true story. This man had a tragic accident and lost his leg. And back then, they had cork replacement legs. So he had a cork leg. Well, several years later, he was called to go to the mission field. And he happened to be serving in an area where cannibals lived who wanted to serve their fellow man. And they were coming after him one day. And he said to them, "You better try me. You might not like me." So he literally cut a piece of his cork leg and gave it to them. And they didn't like him, so they spared his life. So this tragedy years ago, and this was a true story, but this tragedy years ago that was so devastating in his life, literally the Lord turned it to a triumph because the Lord knew years down the road that very tragedy was going to spare his life. So let us try to change our focus off the negative of the struggles that we go through. The Lord is wanting to turn ashes into beauty. Give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is God's desire for each of us. Passing through one trial qualifies you for the next trial. I'm sure we all remember from Grandma Bailey, her talking about the color of your trial and the color of the grace that perfectly matches each other to help us through those struggles. Trials build spiritual muscles to battle greater foes in our life. It builds spiritual muscles. So may we that help us to change our outlook on the struggles that we have to go through for the difficulties. If Jesus had to learn obedience through the things he suffered, he who is the Son of God, how much more us who are of the sin nature have to learn obedience through the things that we suffer? I don't think any of us here enjoy trials or suffering. Do you? Is there anyone here who enjoy trials or suffering? Does anyone here love getting free things or getting good deals? Anyone here? I do. I'm like a magnet to the clearance rack in a store. You know, it's just like I love a good deal and I love filling out ballots. You know, if you go in a place and it's like you could win a $1,000 shopping spree, it's like, woo, very exciting. So I'm, you know, right there filling my name in frantically and trying to grab a couple extras to fill into if I'm able to. But how many of you, if somebody was saying, "Come on over here, come sign up for a chance to really experience a difficult time. You're going to go through a lot of darkness. A whole bunch of people are going to hate you. You're going to lose all kinds of money. And, oh, it's just going to be a horrible experience." How many are ready to sign up? I don't think so. None of us like suffering or trials. We don't. But the purpose of it is for God to transform our lives, to make us into that which he wants us to be. One of my very favorite Bible characters is Joseph. I have been able to identify so much in my life with the story of Joseph. One thing about him, he was faithful wherever he was. If he was in Potiphar's house, in a place of authority, a position, he was faithful. But guess what? In the pit and in prison, he was faithful. And then when he was raised up to help rule the land, he was faithful. And for some people, it's more difficult when they're elevated to a position of authority to be faithful. Their head somehow gets puffed up and they forget that it's all about Jesus and not about them. But he was faithful and he helped save so many people. Another thing for him was forgiveness in his life. Forgiveness. He qualified, I believe, one of the great reasons why he qualified to be the ruler of Egypt was because his ability to forgive. He said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And that is what he is wanting in our hearts and in our lives. That power of forgiveness. There is such power in it. Forgiveness is the key to freedom, the big key to bringing us into what God has for us. This quote here, "Forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior," meaning the person who is being a trial to us. "Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying our heart." And the Lord brought this saying to me at a time when I desperately needed it. I was battling a situation with somebody, and it just was coming in like an onslaught. You know how we're supposed to give 70 times 7? Well, I hope that's like every day, because literally it was like the battlefield in my mind was struggling to forgive this person, and it's like, wait a minute here, I'm the prisoner. I'm the one who's in prison, and I don't want to let their behavior, the choices they're making, to ruin my heart. So forgiveness is such a key in our lives. Forgiveness is such a key. It's not easy. There is a price to pay for it, but it is so freeing when we do are able to truly forgive. Years ago, I read this book on the fear of the Lord, and it was such a powerful, powerful book. And the author in it made a statement I thought was very interesting. He made a statement that often God will plant you in the church where you can most easily become offended. And it's like, well, wait a minute here. Aren't all my brothers and sisters just supposed to love me and encourage me in the ways of the Lord and help me along this journey that I'm on? But God, and whether it's your church, your work situation, your home life, the country you live in, God will place you in the place where you can most easily become offended. And that is because he is trying to get at our heart issues. He is trying to purify us. He is trying to get us to that place where we just surrender. What is the condition of your heart today? You know, sometimes the Lord shows me the condition of my heart, and I'm not very happy with what I see. When I spew something out of my mouth to my husband or my sons, the ones I love the most, get the worst batter from my mouth at times. You know, it's like, oh, I don't like that. That's not good. I don't like the condition of my heart. So what is the condition of our hearts today? Proud people are full of themselves. Humble people are full of God. Recently, the Lord quickened to me the story about Haman. We know about the story of Haman in the book of Esther. He was behind the scenes conniving to promote himself. He was behind the scenes conniving to promote himself. And he got his reward, didn't he? He got his reward, and I don't want to have the reward of Haman. I don't want to be one who's always trying to promote myself. We are here because of Jesus and because of what he has done. But you know what? So many times I get in the way. I get in the way. I don't give God the glory. And it's wrong. It's wrong. But remember, Haman was behind the scenes conniving to promote himself. God is looking for those who have a humble heart. He is those who are desiring God's will and not their own. Have you ever met anybody and basically they wear this big badge? I am very special. I am just so special. I'm just wonderful. Have you ever been around people like that where it's just like everything is about them? Everything is about them. And they do. They wear this big name tag, you know, how special they are. And Romans 10, 1-3 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And I think some of these people who think they are just so wonderful, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. So many times they do it under the guise and all the religious lingo. They know all the lingo, but it's their own righteousness, and it's not the righteousness of God that they are seeking. We want God's way and not our own way. When we were in Africa, my husband and I were facing some challenges, as we all do, and the Lord so graciously spoke to me. He said, "God will choose. God will choose, and he always chooses the best." And literally, every time I say it now, just this peace floods my being. But you know what? We have to allow him to choose. He is not going to choose for us. I don't understand this concept that God created us with a will. Because if I was God, I would want to make all of us just bow before him and do his perfect will just right off the bat. Because that would be the wonderful thing. But to create something and someone that has the will to choose, that we have the will to choose. And he's waiting for us to allow him to choose in our lives. And when he did this for us so many times since then, concerning our house in Canada, we knew we were to put it on the market and come home and deal with our things. We knew that. And the Lord gave us such a peace. There was never a moment of, is the house going to sell? Is the house going to sell? It was like, Lord, it's your house. Whatever you want to do with it is your business. And literally the peace, if I could only grasp that for every other situation in my life I'm battling. But it hasn't quite gone over to that. But I want it because I see the peace he has given in the midst of it. And by the way, our house still hasn't sold. We felt at the end of our time here, if it didn't sell, to turn it over to a property manager. And Grandpa Bailey often made the comment, he said, God is the God of the last minute. And really, it's his perfect timing. It's not the last minute. In our minds, it's the last minute. But in his economy, it's his perfect timing. So we're still waiting, but everything is dealt with from our house. So we are just so thankful. But may this help us. God will choose, God will choose, and he always chooses the best. But we have to, my mother already said this, we have to let go so God can do his thing. We have to let go so God can do his thing. And wow, sometimes that's not so easy, is it? It's not so easy. It is not so easy. You almost have to plead with God, and then you have to get out of the way to let him do it. Prayer is such an important aspect of our lives, and crying out to him for these situations that we struggle with, crying him out for situations in people's lives. But guess what? We then have to step out of the way so he can come on the scene and do his thing, because he knows what to do. He knows what to do, and so many times we try to take things in our own hands. He is looking for people who are broken. Brokenness begins with the heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. We must fight for a broken heart instead of a bitter heart. For a broken heart instead of a bitter heart. Our attitudes are so important. We don't want to go around with a hurt attitude or bitter, offended. People like that aren't very nice to be around. That is not brokenness before the Lord. We want to guard our attitudes and our heart. Are we going to be served or to serve? Well, again, our heart attitudes. God is looking for those willing vessels who are yielded to him. How we walk with the broken speaks louder than how we sit with the great. Grandpa Bailey would say, I would rather be a little man going up than a big man falling down. And he often said that. And so I think that is an important lesson for us. We want to be those with a broken and a contrite heart. Note to self, you cannot be everything to everyone. People are always looking for a recipe of success. Well, trying to please everyone is a recipe for stress. So you cannot please people. It just is impossible to please people. If you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection, because you will face rejection in this life. We want to have an attitude of pleasing God and being a servant to him and a servant to his people, and not looking to people for approval, because they're looking to you for approval too. Everybody's looking for it. But oh, we get fulfilled when we look to our precious Heavenly Father. We learn from every life what to do or what not to do. I want to be one, when people look at my life, it's like, I want to be like that. But you know what? Sometimes it's not that way. When I look in a mirror, it's like, definitely not like that. But we learn from every life. Every life we come in contact, we either learn what to do or what not to do. Sometimes our expectations don't quite meet the reality of the situation. I liked this little picture. Our plan on the top. Oh, smooth sailing, easy going. We have everything mapped out, and then it doesn't quite happen like that. The bottom is more reality. Life happens then. Is this reality? Sometimes we put unrealistic expectations on others. Maybe our husband, maybe our children, maybe those over us, our authority figures, maybe our friends, maybe ourselves, we can put unrealistic expectations on. And guess what? It just brings frustration. It just brings frustration. An important part to our journey is keeping calm and staying focused. keeping calm and staying focused. Shortly before we left for Africa, I saw this program where this person was being sent on a mission to another country. It was a soldier being sent on this very dangerous mission. And when they, during the mission, they found out something tragic that happens to somebody else on a previous mission. When this person got back from their mission, they said to their authority, they said, "Why didn't you tell me about this situation?" And their response was, "It wasn't relevant to your mission. It was not relevant to your mission." And that person knew that it was going to distract them from their mission. And so many times we can be focused on everyone else's life or everyone else's ministry or this and that, that we are not focused on our mission. I so appreciate Brenda, who helps us in our house in Cameroon. One day I asked her, they can play music very, very loudly outside sometimes. It's not really music that I find appealing. And I said to her, I said, "What are they singing?" And she said, "Mommy, I don't know. I don't give my ears to it." And I thought, what a great thing. Because, you know, there are many times things come in our life we have no control over. I can't go over to wherever that music's coming from and say, "You need to shut that off. That's not really uplifting." I just have to learn to not give my ears to it. And that will help you stay focused on your mission when you're focused on what you have to do and what God has called you to do. Keep calm and don't lose your crown. This was another thing that I remember from Bible school. The class I remember the most was Pastor Bailey's class on the book of Esther. And the whole theme of the week was on not losing your crown. And we went to Starville. Starville was having their Jubilee celebration. We went to Starville. When we got back, one of our classmates did not return. And I remember thinking, how could you sit through that class? He brought out scripture example after example of all these people who lost their crown. And it's like, God help us to hit the mark that we do not lose our crown. Another thing Grandpa would say in his messages I would listen to, character flaws. So many have major character flaws in their life. They have not yielded to the dealings of the Lord. And unfortunately, those character flaws will eventually take them off the pathway. Some may even have character flaws to infinity and beyond. So may we truly allow the Lord to deal in our life that those character flaws wouldn't be there. Another important aspect of our being is flexibility. Flexibility. Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be bent out of shape. And my husband often reminds me when I'm in a frenzy about something, he said, "Did the Lord give somebody a song called 'My Steps Belong to You, Lord'?" It's like, oh yeah, I think I remember a song about that. And so anyways, flexibility. And it was amazing preparing to go to Africa. My husband was tri-vocational. Sometimes I had to go to one of his jobs just to see him, because literally he was working days and most evenings, most Saturdays and Sundays. So it was the Lord preparing us for Africa, though. You need such flexibility on the mission field. Flexibility. Stay committed to your decisions, but stay flexible in your approach. And we need this, especially in dealing with other cultures, because there are so many differences, and we don't want to just come in and plow our way through. We are in their country, and we want to be sensitive to those things. Trust. Trust in speaking the truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May we be those who love the truth and speak the truth, that we trust God enough that we speak the truth. This doesn't mean, speaking the truth doesn't mean you have to tell everything you know. Like when we get to the border to cross over to come into the States, we don't have to tell them our whole life history. And that doesn't mean that we're not being truthful to them. We often say when we're coming into the States, we're going to visit family and friends. I wouldn't say I'm coming to a Christian conference, because then they would ask all kinds of questions. I'm not withholding the truth from them. I'm being very truthful. But having wisdom. Having wisdom. It doesn't mean we have to share everything with somebody that comes into our head about them either. That we need wisdom from the Lord. So speaking the truth, having a balance in speaking the truth. Your words mean nothing to me because your actions speak the truth. Wow. May that not be said of us, that our actions are saying something different than what's coming out of our mouth. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use your words. For some people, our lives will be the only Bible that they will read. The only Bible that they will read. So may our actions portray the life of Jesus. George Mueller. Years ago, growing up, I read a biography on him, and I loved his story. And the story of him trusting the Lord for mighty things, I was so inspired and challenged by him. Keep calm and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Years ago, I heard a story, an Uncle Dan and Aunt Sue story. Do y'all remember those Uncle Dan and Aunt Sue stories? And this one was a true one of this soldier who was in battle, and he was a Christian. He was, I believe, filled with the Holy Spirit. He would have had to have been. And the Holy Spirit would tell him to leave a building, and he would leave, and a bomb would come and bomb where he was. The Holy Spirit would tell him to go over here and do this, and literally there was safety wherever he went, and everybody started, well, not everybody, but many around him started following him because they knew there was safety. Where he was. It was like, I want to have a relationship with Jesus like that, that I am so in tune with him. Years ago, Pastor Bailey, Grandpa Bailey, was coming to visit us, and he came, we went to the hotel to meet him, and he's just walking right in the lobby right then, and my husband said, oh, have you been waiting long? He said, no, the Holy Spirit told me to come down now, and that just made an impact. It's like, Lord, I want that relationship with you, that I trust you so much, and I'm listening and willing to obey you. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. Another quote from a wonderful missionary, Hudson Taylor. We have proven this over and over with the Lord. I can't go into details of stories, but God's provision over and over and over. When he sends you, he pays, and it's so wonderful. Fear has two meanings: forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And I heard this story years ago of a missionary woman who was so afraid of snakes. And in the country she was serving, there were snakes. And eventually that fear led them back to their home in North America. And one day, their child was outside playing and they got bit by a snake. And in the hurry and scurry of getting them into the vehicle to rush them to the hospital, they ran over one of their other children. And I don't know the end result, if either of them died or what happened, but literally the fear that took her away from the purposes of God was the very fear that brought destruction in her family. Let us not allow our fears to govern our lives. Let us just say, Lord, you are in control. God is enough. You never know God is all you need until God is all you have. And I think my time is quickly, let me see where I'm at here. 2 minutes left. Okay, so we're going to have to just, there were several things I had wanted to share. Worship is so important. Creating an atmosphere of peace in our home through thankfulness, praise, and worship. I've had opportunities to share with our ladies in Cameroon and Exodus 25:8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Creating an atmosphere in our homes that can become a sanctuary for the presence of the Lord. Worship is so, so very important. I have to share this one because it makes me laugh every time. Life is hard and then you die. And my husband always says that is so morbid, and it just makes me laugh. It's just like, it's just so funny because it's so true so many times. What is the hard you are facing in your life? All of us have that hard in our life that God is allowing us to go through. But you know what? It's to purify us. Again, it's tailor-made for our situations. Ministry doesn't change who you are. Many times, you know, we think of people in ministry, or we think of us when one day we're going to be in ministry, and we might just be this little cat, and we look in the mirror and say, wow, when I'm in ministry, I'm going to be this giant, you know, wonderful being. But ministry doesn't change who you are. It magnifies who you are. Whatever is in there is going to be magnified for all to see. Grandpa Bailey always said that to us as students. He said, allow the Lord to deal in your life, because whatever is in there is going to be magnified when you're on the mission field. Follow Jesus, simple but not easy, free but not cheap. We'll give you everything, but will also cost you everything. Being rooted and grounded in him is the key. Rooted and grounded in him. The storms are coming. The storms are coming, ladies. If we're not rooted and grounded now, when the storms come, we are going to go. We are going to go. Lord, here am I. Send me. Nothing but my all will do. I will respond to your call to lay down my all. It's easy to say the words, but what about doing it? You know, there's this little song, I surrender all, Lord. Or is it, I surrender almost everything, Lord. Or is it, I surrender some things, Lord. You know, ding. It's what is really going on from our heart. What is your surrenderometer saying today? Is it some? Is it most? Or are we truly surrendering all to Jesus? He wants us to surrender, so there's reckless abandon for him and the nations. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. I just want to share this one last. We were singing this in our church back in Waller a few years ago, and the Lord gave me a vision while we were singing this. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne. And it was as if I was in the throne room of the Father, and God the Father was there, and I was being presented before him, and in front of me was standing Jesus. And God the Father was looking through Jesus to me. And that is how we are presented faultless. It's nothing to do with us. It's all about him. It is all about him. And I had opportunity to train many secretaries through the years. And I would always say, if you don't remember anything else from what I'm sharing with you, remember this. So if from today you don't remember anything else I've shared with you, remember this. Keep calm. Praise God. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And he's looking for those vessels who are surrendered to him. Could we all stand together? This little song, All I Have, All I Am, I lay it down before you. The Lord literally brought this to us through an amazing story when we were in Cameroon. And he used it in a situation we were battling. And literally, my husband and I, we were driving a 7-hour drive. And as we sang this, he was just releasing us from the past of a situation we were battling. And also the future. We knew there was going to be more future to this situation. But literally laying it all before him.